I am Sandra Bolks Hawkins, and I am interviewing Cody Ushery. We're at his home, and it's 6:30 on April 25th, 2007. Now, Cody, we will be asking questions about the historical growth of Pamlico County and your experiences in this community. Let me know if you do not understand a particular question. Your information is very important to this project. We are interviewing people from this area to get information about their African-American experiences and what has influenced your life and that of the community. We will be talking about family, daily life, education, religion, military history, social life, vacation and travel, and community changes. Now, regarding the family, could you please give us some basic information about yourself and your family, your full name, date and place of birth, the names of your parents, children, and brothers and sisters?
My name is Cody Ushery, and I was born in Harlem, New York on April 21st, 1949. I was 6 years old when my mother moved home with my brother and sister at the time. There were three of us at the time, Judy Ushery, Calvin Ushery, and myself. We came to live with my grandmother at the time. She was the only one living at the time. Both of my grandmothers.
Okay. What about your children?
I have five children. Cody DeLon Ushery, Tisha DeVay Ushery, Zora Bianca Ushery, LaKendra Danielle Ushery, and Kia Ushery.
Okay. Describe yourself and the family that you grew up in.
It was six of us children. Mm-hmm. After we moved here, my mother and father had three more kids, which the name was Chris Ushery, Curtis Ushery, and Sharon Ushery. And I also was brought up in the family with my first cousin, who seemed like a brother to me. We all grew up together. There was seven of us living in the household. Seven children living in the household. Mother, father, and my grandmother.
What do you remember most about your family and their involvement in the community?
Most I know about my family was with the church. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing of going in our community, going to church. Mm-hmm. And I remember when everyone used to get together when they killed hogs. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody come together to help that family. Mm-hmm. And then they do the same for the next family. A big community gathering. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing back then.
That sounds interesting. Describe any family reunions or other activity that brought your family together. And I guess you just said one thing was about the hog killing. Yeah. During it.
Yeah. Now, when my mother was living, we used to get together every year. Mm-hmm. All the kids would come home and the grandkids would come home and she would fix meals, her and my grandmother. Mm-hmm. It was a big extravaganza for us. And after she died, that went away. Yeah.
And so sort of history is lost when that happens because people tend to lose touch.
Yeah.
Describe the family that you live in today.
Well, my family today, my kids, I got kids in Florida, I got two in Florida, and I got one in Raleigh, and I got two living at home, you know, mm-hmm. in Pamlico County. And I got 13 grandkids.
Mama.
And I see a lot of them. I'm raising a grandson. I had him ever since he was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And he seemed like my son, you know. But my kids, they're very thoughtful, you know. Like when I had a birthday, they gave me a birthday party. Mm-hmm. And they call me on my birthday. They make me feel good. Mm-hmm. And we keep in touch, but we call.
That was good. Okay, now we're going to talk about your daily life. When you were younger, what were some of the things you did during the week and on the weekend?
When I was younger, growing up, during the weekday, we mostly did some type of work on the farm. You know, after school, mm-hmm. we used to have to go crop corn or go in the cornfield and strip the stalks of corn when it was season, when it was corn season. And then tobacco season, we used to have to tie tobacco, you know, after school when that season was. We did a lot of that. And on weekend, we mostly played sports. Mm-hmm. We used to get together in the community, and we used to play baseball, and all the guys would get together, play basketball. And we always looked, Sunday we had to go to church. Mm-hmm. And after church, we were ready for church to end because we wanted to go play. You know, that's the only thing we had to do mm-hmm. back there in the day. And we also did a raised garden. Mm-hmm. We had on Saturday morning, before we do anything, my grandma would take us in the garden. We had to go out there and chop the weeds out or pull the weeds out of the garden. She had a big garden. And okay. You know, that took a long time, but we just had to do it every Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, clean up the yard and mow the yard and stuff like that.
Okay. So this answers part of this question about being involved in family or working the land. What crops did you grow other than that? Did she grow in her garden?
She grew corn, she grew beans, mm-hmm. she grew collards, she had cabbage, she had salad, mm-hmm. she had squash, mm-hmm. Watermelon season, she grew watermelon, we grew watermelon. Mm-hmm. We had to go in the hen house and cat it, we didn't have no fertilizer.
that was your first lesson.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Were you paid for that, or did she?
No, we weren't paid for that.
She didn't pay. Did she pay to sell the crop, or?
No, that was for us.
Just for you all.
Well, she raised that for us. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay. Regarding education, please name the schools you attended, when you attended them, and where they were located. Your education.
I first started off in a one-room classroom in Florence, mm-hmm. in the first grade. We had to walk to school, and I live about 4 miles from that classroom school. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we had to walk. And that last, I think, about 6 months in that year, then we went to the school in Stonewall. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they had a bus at that time come pick us up. And you know, in Caris to the school. That was in the first grade, and that was Pamlico Training School at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you remember most about your school days, except for the long walks?
Getting together with mainly with the kids. Uh-huh. You know, we got along pretty good. You know, we had our little ups and downs, but mm-hmm. We got along real good. You know, we liked to play.
That's most kids. Mm. Who were your favorite teachers, and which courses were your favorites, and why?
My favorite first grade teacher was Mrs. Johnson at the time. Mm-hmm. She moved away to Georgia later on. And my favorite, let me see, now, a high school teacher was Mr. Hembry. He taught algebra and mm-hmm. geometry. I liked the algebra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did pretty good in algebra mm-hmm. in high school. And Mrs. Green was one of my favorites.
What about your activities in sports? Were there any favorites there?
Basketball. Mm-hmm. We only had basketball. We had two sports, basketball and baseball. Those were the only two sports that we allowed at our school, mm-hmm. at the black school. We didn't have no football team. They wouldn't give us any equipment.
What were your experiences with discrimination in school, or did you have any?
Discrimination? Uh-huh. When I grew up, there was white school and there was a black school. Mm-hmm. And, I can remember at the time when we used to get our books, white kids would get new books. We would get the books passed down from the white school and over to our school where they had their names in it, mm-hmm. and we knew that where they came from. And our books were ragged and they were out of date. They would always get the updated books.
Do you feel that you received an education that prepared you for life and work?
I think I did, because we had some very dedicated teachers. Mm-hmm. They taught you, but they were also your parents. Mm-hmm. See, back then that day, now, you did something wrong, they didn't mind discipline the way your parents were. And you couldn't say anything. And you was taught to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had real good manners. Mm-hmm.
Religion. Do you consider yourself religious?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so what faith?
I'm Christian.
Okay. Why do you say that you're religious?
Because that's the way I was brought up. Mm-hmm. And I always believed in God. And I always still believe there is a God. Mm-hmm. And the day even though I got away from it in my younger days, but I came back. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to teach my children the same thing. Mm-hmm.
How often do you participate in religious activities?
I'm an usher in church every other Sunday.
Mm-hmm. How do you put your religion in action, I guess?
I say by trying to do the right things around children and mm-hmm. always trying to be positive, mm-hmm. even though it may be negative in our community, you know, trying to make it positive. Mm-hmm. I like working with the kids.
And that, you do that at home. What do you do at home that involves religion?
We try to teach our kids to say the prayers at night, mm-hmm. you know, thank God, say grace, mm-hmm. After a meal, before a meal anyway.
Right.
And, try to still want to go to church and Sunday school and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Regarding your military history, describe the military service that you or a member of your family experienced. And I think you were
I was in the Army. Uh-huh. And I was in the Army in 1967, which it was still segregated. We wasn't segregated as much in the Army then, but it was still segregated around us.
Around.
Yeah. And, I went to, unfortunately, I went to Vietnam, mm-hmm. and I was in the infantry. I was an M60 machine gunner, on an infantry unit, 199 light infantry unit. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't very pretty over there, you know. And that's why I say I know there's a God, because it was by the grace of God that got me back here, because the situation that I was put in, you don't remember getting out of it.
But
you got out, yeah.
Were there any significant events that happened in the service?
Yeah, losing a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, the service became tight. You know, I may meet you today, but I seem like I have known you all my life. And then you wake up the next day, he's gone.
How has serving in the military affected people in this community?
I have served in the military affected people.
Yeah. How has serving in the military affected people in general? in your community?
In my community. I think people understand what I went through, mm-hmm. you know, and people have been real helpful mm-hmm. in me getting back in society, in my community, you know, mm-hmm. because coming back adapted was very hard. The people in the community were very, very helpful.
How do you feel about the military?
How do I feel about the military? I really like the military, mm-hmm. you know, because I think there was good things, even though there was bad experience, but there was a lot of good things that mm-hmm. happened, and a lot of good things that happened to me, you know, that made me a stronger person today. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay. Regarding your social life, describe your social life with your family, neighbors, and friends.
I'm a pretty outgoing person mm-hmm. now. You know, before when I first got married and stuff, I really didn't know how to deal with life. You know, I really kind of shun away from people, and I really was in my own shell, which really got me off the right track. You know, I did things that I'm not very proud of today, but there were things that helped me grow. I grew from my mistakes. Today, you know, it's a different story. I like working with people. I like being around people. Me and my family, we're getting along better. It's like I'm a better dad mm-hmm. today, even though my kids are grown, but I got my grandkids, so I think I'm a better dad.
Okay. Did you ever feel that your community was missing something? What was it, and what was done about it, if anything?
In our community, there wasn't really anything for us kids to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And I really think unity was our biggest asset.
Yes.
That was our biggest asset, being black, you know. We were separate from whites, you know. We was taught they were superior and we was inferior. And that group, that stuck in our head. And it had a lot to do with I think, mm-hmm. with us coming up. Because I always thought the white man was better than me. I always tried to emulate him mm-hmm. in some way, fashion, or form. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be like him. And that destroyed some of my culture.
Okay, vacation and travel. Where and when did you travel, and what was it like early in your life and now?
Okay, I used to love to go to New York with my family. My yeah. mother and father, we used to love it. They used to take New York every year. And I used to love to go to New York, but I didn't want to stay there. But I used to love to go and visit my grandparents. Uh-huh. You know, my grandparents were living there. Uh-huh. And I had an aunt that lived in New York. And an uncle, and I used to love to go and visit them. That was a real experience. It's a good experience.
Have you ever experienced discrimination when you travel? Where and how?
Well, early on, coming up, you know, there was white bathrooms, white faucets. We couldn't drink out of there, you know, and we couldn't. Sit at the table, we had to sit at counters and stuff, and get out food and get out, you know, stuff like eat out on the street and stuff like that. And it seemed like as I grew up, you still, when it's, that's in the city, you grew up, when you be bypassed jobs, you would be more qualified, but you couldn't get the position because on the kind of color of your skin.
Right.
You know, you would always suck the best. You know, even though you knew you were better than the next man that was got the position or something. Han was a really let you know where you were.
I know know, it's probably worse for the male than it was for the female.
Yeah.
Community and changes. Name and describe the communities you have lived in.
Florence was a tight, we had a tight-knit family down there in Florence, you know, and they were very religious. Those people were very religious, you know, and they were stuck in their ways, you know, and they wouldn't give in either, you know. You know, like, time and people were changing, you know, we was coming up and we didn't see some of the ideas and the way they were thinking, you know, we wanted to do a little bit different from what they did. And, you know, and even though we found out that their way was right, you know, our way was wrong, but we just wanted to venture out and try to do things different from what they did. And Florence, everybody was your mother and father. You could go and eat. I don't care where you were. Eat at anybody's house, you know. You could walk down the street, you could smell it, cooking and stuff, and they would call you in the house and feed you and stuff like that, you know. And I lived with my aunt and uncle in Bayburn, Irva Fisher and Elizabeth Fisher. And I look forward, that's summer, I look forward to that because I used to love that. That day was my favorite. And I used to love to follow my uncle down the field when he was flying and you know, where he'd go feed the horses and chickens and hogs and stuff like that. I used to love that, you know, when I was small. You know, I used to sit out there and watch chickens all day, man. I just watching, they fascinated me. And I lived back here and my aunt and uncle were very religious. And they carried me to church during the week and on Sunday. I had to go to church. I wanted Journey, a cousin, you know, I used to see him walk out the road and I wanted to go, but he always run me back, you know, but he was teaching me something right then, you know, and I didn't understand right then. I thought he was mean, but he was really teaching me something. And me and my cousin Norman, we used to, there wouldn't be but two, either Ron come up, and we would play. We'd make guns, horses, and we had a good time. We'd just be two or three of them.
Yeah. Were there any beaches around?
Beaches.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Okay. We had a black beach over in Orem called Steintown Beach. Mm-hmm. And Facing Beach at the time before the whites took that beach. So that was a beautiful beach. And then there was Rainbow Beach that we used to go. And that's no more. Whites bought all that up. Downtown beaches, it's just nothing. Facing beaches, they still got it, but they got that blocked off.
Were there any hate groups such as the KKK in this area when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. And now,
do you know some of them?
I don't know, but back when I was growing up, I knew a couple, you know. But okay. We had a bad experience with a couple of white kids, and their daddies them came there and threatened us when we was kids, and threatened to kill us when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right in front of my grandmother. Yeah. Wow. This happened, they were going to kill her. And from that day, you know, it was kind of hard for me to really gel with a white person. You know, I always looked at them as evil. Mm-hmm. And you know, they were wearing that suit, burning cross. They didn't burn one out, y'all, but we have seen it. Mm-hmm.
Do these groups interfere with your life and livelihood now, or at the time, did they?
At that time, they probably did, you know. They really gave you a narrow mind, you know, you had a narrow mind about things. But today, no, today you don't even. And my children, you know, and even though we know it ain't what it seemed to be, you know, but we can't, they don't understand right now.
Adult years, what type of work have you done?
Oh, what kind of work have I done? I'm going to tell you, at my adulthood, I had worked in the tree field, I have dug potato. I have cropped tobacco, pulled tobacco. And my land really, okay, and I worked at a boat, a yacht, and a couple boat yachts. And I worked 30 years at Cherry Point.
What have been some important events in your life?
I used to, most of the events in my life is that I really remember is having my entire family come home. You know, and you know, we had a big get together. Mm-hmm. You know, and that meant a lot to me.
Okay. What significant events do you recall, such as the Depression, World War II, Korean conflicts, Vietnam, Civil Rights era, 9/11, assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, John Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy? And what do these events mean to you, the ones that you're familiar with?
Okay, the biggest event that really happened when I was in Vietnam fighting, Martin Luther King got assassinated. I never forget that. That's the event I really talk about the most. Mm-hmm. Is over there. Because then, we as blacks over there, we felt lost. It seemed like you had took something from us. And we refused to fight. You don't hear about that now. This was going on over when I was in Vietnam. We refused to fight, and then it was a black and white thing over there too. So the generals them had to come in and step in. I remember them setting us all down, black and white. I mean, we was about a big place of hope. A lot of soldiers, you know, and they gave us a talk, you know, and that seems to really pull us together. Really understand what we're really fighting for.
Is there anything that you would like to add that we have not talked about in this interview?
Well, another event, we used to go on trips with my wife. We used to go on trips every year. Uh-huh. You know, whatever, couples. And I went to Martin Luther King in Atlanta, Georgia, went to that church. Mm-hmm. And went to that church and his, where they buried him and stuff. I got a lot, and I saw some pictures. They had on TV and stuff, you know, reminded me. Okay. Brought back memories.
Do you have some words of wisdom for our younger people?
Our younger people, you know, I think they are really out of touch. But I also think as adults, we don't have enough men. Women are doing their part. We don't have enough black men to get involved with our kids, mm-hmm. our children. I think black men need it. We're going to have to step up and, you know, help our kids because we are losing. Mm-hmm. There's a generation of black boys, we're just losing. And we as men, we got to step up and try to, and look, it doesn't matter whether it's your kid or who kid it is.
Right. Okay. I want to thank you so much for sharing your recollections. Your voice has been empowering for this project. And this ends the interview.